Yo, what up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. Warrior here is coming off of a convincing statement sweep of both the Grizzlies and the Clippers at home. Go to 4-1, and having listened to Draymond Green's podcast and him naming the five teams as the competitors and contenders in the NBA this year, you have the Thunder, Dubs, then you've got the Clippers, the Lakers, the Nuggets. Three of those teams are three of the Warriors' wins. Memphis, no slouch. The only loss was to a Blazers team, which is basically a scheduled loss against a very athletic young team, fresh legs, and the Warriors, you know, all the reason in the world to not really show up in that game. We'll give them a pass. 4-1, and, you know, outside of a couple unbeaten teams, and maybe not even, you know, they've had kind of light schedules in the NBA, like the Spurs and the Thunder, who have struggled in a couple of their early games, although they are 5-0. I would say the Warriors look like the best team in the NBA right now from top to bottom, being that they have two stars at the top, including what I think is the best player when it counts the most in Steph Curry. They have maybe the best defense in the NBA, number one rated defense since we've gotten Jimmy Butler, and showed every bit of it tonight, or excuse me, last night. And then the depth also coming into play with these youngsters really coming along, Pajemski, Moody, and reinforcements coming along the way, and D'Anthony Melton. A lot to love about the Warriors and this early five-game sample size. I know there is a lot depending on health and a lot of other obstacles that will come throughout the course of the season, but Warriors are off to as good a start as you could have possibly hoped for. Oh, and I forgot to mention a blossoming young potential all-star in Jonathan Kuminga, who's really turned into a completely different player, hardly recognizable. Not his best game of the season last night, maybe even actually his worst game of the season last night, but still showed some things that you haven't seen from him in the past, some very encouraging things. And you just see that his, you know, interpretation, his vision, his just kind of take on the game and how he's reading the game right now, completely different player. Looks like someone who's finally had his eyes opened for the first time in his young career. Mainly going to talk about the Clips game today, although I know we didn't cover the Grizzlies, but again, just two very big statement wins. And starting with this one, different starting lineup with JK at the two in this, and Post playing center. Wanted to go bigger against a big Clippers lineup with Zubac. And my initial concerns were, can Post hang? You know, can defensively especially, can he hang on the court guarding a, you know, a switch against James Harden? Can he present a challenge to Kawhi Leonard in spots? Can he defend Zubac when he gets to the middle of the floor? The answer was a resounding yes. The starting lineup in this one, fantastic. I don't know what the plus minus was, but they must have easily been plus 30, you know, to start the first half and then coming out in that third quarter. Warriors hit a lull in that second quarter offensively. I think they only scored 13 points, and it was sort of a mess. They just, you know, because they weren't scoring points, they weren't getting to set their defense. And that's when the Clippers actually outplayed them for the few minutes span that they did in this. Warriors also didn't even get to the free. I think they had one free throw of one in the first half. But then they come out of the half and you're starting to see what you see in seasons where the Warriors are championship level. And that's the third quarter Warriors come out of the locker room and start getting after it on the defensive side of the ball. You see a few more traps. You see a much more disciplined Warriors team that's forcing Harden to his weak side, force him to his right hand, send the help when you need to, and then speed up the Clippers, speed up this isolation team, and get out in transition. You get stops, you get turnovers, and that's when your offense actually starts to open up and you can start getting into that tempo that the Warriors love to get to and start getting some transition buckets. And then the Dubs Invitational, that fun show that we get to see without in transition with Kuminga running, Steph shooting threes, et cetera, that's when good things start from that defensive intensity. Dubs in the third quarter this season are a combined plus 50. So, you know, plus 10 in each of our five games on average, and that is by far the best third quarter difference in the league. And, man, I just want to talk about the defense. 79 points. Hasn't been done by the Warriors since 2016. Clippers only score 79 points, including only 30 in the second half, on pace for 60. Clippers shot 36% from the field. Kawhi and Harden combined to shoot under 40%. Team shot 15% from three. I know they didn't shoot well, but to the Warriors' credit, that is playing good defense on their playmakers and really just rotating off of your Derrick Joneses, rotating off of your Chris Dunns, rotating off of just the non-shooters and living with the non-shooters missing threes, and that's a formula for success. You saw two different styles of basketball. You see the Warriors' beautiful ball movement style where everyone's touching the ball, you have off-ball movement, setting screens, and the ball is hopping and you're creating shots for basically whoever you're creating the best possible shot for whoever it ends up being an opportunity for versus the Clippers. I almost said Rockets just because of the Harden, Chris Paul and so many similarities in offensive style. The Clippers just isolation with two guys. It's either Harden isolating or it's Kawhi isolating. And that's what the Warriors have succeeded at just throughout the last 10, 15 years is being able to guard in isolation. You have switchable defenders. You have just fantastic aware off-ball rotations, starting with Draymond Green. Now you have a guy like Jimmy Butler, who's fantastic as a second line of defense. You're Al Horfords of the world. You're starting to see Quinton Post. Just everyone understands that, you're forcing the primary ball handler weak side. Once he gets there, you're sending help. Whoever's helping, usually a big. Now what we've been missing is that second rotating onto Zubac or whoever that big is that's being abandoned. And then you're basically rotating off of that weak side, poor three-point shooter, which each team in the NBA typically has one shooter that you're going to live with missing threes or shooting open threes. And that's what the Warriors strategy has been for years. And you've seen it with laying off Westbrook, laying off Vanderbilt on the Lakers. You just always live with that poor three-point shooter. And you just that's your defensive strategy. And when they miss shots, that's how you hold a team to 36% shooting and 30 points in the second half. Draymond Green, defensively fantastic in this, and he was a plus 29 despite not the best offensive showing, but it was just a glimpse at why he is just the best defender that I've ever seen in my generation. Can defend Kawhi on ball. Draymond Green, for all we talk about point of attack defenders and perimeter defenders, when it matters most, Draymond Green is on the team's best player on the ball because he can be as good a point of attack defender as it gets. And then he's also the best off ball help rotating weak side defender that you can get as well. So when someone else is guarding Harden, like Kuminga, who did a pretty good job on Harden tonight, especially in that second half, Draymond's right there and help. Steph Curry gets switched on to Harden, and when he's not stripping and taking Harden's cookies, Draymond's there to back him up. It's just what Draymond does. It's why he's so good, and it's why our defense has just always been a top 10 defense in the contending championship years. Let's go back to Quinton Post. Team high plus 34. And I will say, I had my concern. I was starting as I'm writing my notes in the first quarter of the Memphis game. I'm just like, man, Quinton Post, TJD. I don't know what the Warriors are going to do, but in the games where Horford's not playing or, in the times he's off the floor, and you already know Draymond's not going to play every single minute at center, what are the Warriors going to do? They've been losing every minute with our backup centers in. Post can't play defense. He's not doing much on offense other than missing a three or two a game. It's like, what is he giving you? And TJD's giving you even less. Well, things changed that very moment. I wrote down my note that Post was struggling. Fantastic defense by Quinton Post. Obviously, he makes threes. We can count on him to knock down open threes. He made four of them in this game, had 12 points, 4 of 7 from three, had 8 rebounds. But the stat I like most about Post, one foul. And that's guarding Zubac, but that's also getting switched onto Harden. That's getting switched onto ball handlers. Did a really good job of moving his feet. Again, not fouling, going straight up, and just being a disruptor at center and giving you pretty much what you're hoping that Al Horford is going to give you on the defensive side of the ball. And if that's the case, that is a huge, huge hole that the Warriors need to fill in terms of their center depth, especially on the defensive side of the ball. It allows Draymond to do what he does as a power forward on defense, and it preserves a whole bunch of wear and tear on Draymond and on Horford. actually thought Post's best defensive performance was against the Grizzlies, when there must have been at least five or six instances where he was guarding Ja Morant. And man, Ja must have only scored on maybe one of them. The Grizzlies only scored on one of them. He, again, straight up forced Ja into tough shots, unbalanced shots. Ja was settling a lot for the mid-range just because Quinton was moving his feet and really just not letting him around him, but then also being able to recover. And if you are beat, still being impactful, still chasing from behind to potentially alter shots. If you can't get to that shot, it's knowing where that next offensive player is to try to get in a passing lane and recover that way. So just, the extra wherewithal, maybe the extra quickness, whatever he did in the offseason, I know he spent a lot of time focusing on his defense and not fouling, seems to be paying off. Again, short sample size in the first couple games of the season. Little skeptical of what he was looking like, but proved in a very tough matchup, one where you need a good center against Zubac, proved to be very effective, particularly in that first and third quarter. So great game, Quinton Post. And I would give you the game ball. Runner-up game ball, Jimmy Butler. Didn't even get to the free throw line, but had 21 points. And the thing I'm liking most about Jimmy Butler is he is not afraid to shoot that three-pointer when he's open. He's getting better lift on it. Yeah, he's still going to hit the bottom of the front rim on some of these flat threes, but has proven that can give you just enough spacing and respect where teams can't just sag off of him on that three-point line. Went 3 of 4 on three tonight, last night, and is 8 of 12 on the season. Would set an NBA record shooting 67% from three. Can't really expect that. But if you're going to at least shoot two or three of those a game when you're open, knock down one or two of them, that's just a huge weapon. And again, it just keeps the defense honest, particularly in these lineups where you have Kuminga and Draymond on the court at the same time. It was 9 of 12 from the field. 21 points led the team, but just has a great feel for doing enough when it is required. He's not going to expend more energy. He knows how to preserve his body. He's not, you see him go through these like empty quarters when the Warriors especially are cruising and coasting, understands how to pace himself, and then will give you what you need either as a scorer or a point forward playmaker when Steph's off the court, or even when Steph's on the court, will give you what you need, and it really just understands how to get to that finish line and bring you across when it's needed. I mean, already one of the best point forwards in the league. And the main point reason why is just the turnovers. He does not turn the ball over, hates when he does. He's really just settled the Warriors down in terms of, having, you see Dre making all these like home run, aggressive hero passes. Just, hey, tone it down. You can still make the pass when it's there, but we don't need to really be, forcing the issue. The Warriors will force a lot stuff as well. Now it's, you know what, you get stuck, just give the ball to Jimmy, make the simple pass, let him go get you a good possession. And whereas in previous years without Jimmy, you see the Warriors with all these, late shot clock forced, just ugly shots, throwing a grenade to your teammate and he's got to put something up. You're not getting that as much. It looks much more like the Kevin Durant days, and when you had Andrew Wiggins, where late shot clock, dump the ball down to one of these guys, can either go get you a bucket, can get you to the line, or in Jimmy's case, can get somebody else a good possession, a good shot. And that's an efficient offense that's, going to be scoring an additional 5, 6 points a game just on better, higher quality shots late in the shot clock. So it's the perfect balance of aggression and decision making out of Jimmy and just a steadying force. Great job these past few games by Jimmy. Looking at kind of the younger guys, right? I mean, it was more of a story after the Grizzlies game. They were all okay last night, but I'm talking Pods, I'm talking Moody, and then we'll dig into JK a bit, who was fantastic the night before. This is going to be the X factor in the Warriors season, is can these three emerge? Can they be consistent? We've seen it with Pods, very inconsistent. Even last year, really bad start, obviously came on in the second half. Even just a microcosm of this year, a couple bad games, a couple good games. He was great in the Memphis game with 23 points and 5 of 7 on three. My point to Pods is you can't let your shot making affect everything else in your game. I know statistically it's so easy to look at, hey, you knocked down your shots, it was a good scoring game, this and that, but you just see so many times just the body language, just the confidence in himself, and he's a young guy, but you can't let a missed shot or several missed shots take you out of everything else that you do well. And you're starting to see him, level the ship a little. 12, 5, 4 last night. Made a three at the end of the first quarter at the buzzer. Had a LeBron vintage little sequence where he chased down blocked CP3 in transition and then just goes down and gets a reverse layup on the other side. So you see glimpses again of what pods can give you. Then you also see glimpses of him being unathletic and unable to impact the game on either side of the floor. Let's get that consistency level up. I'd say at this point, looks about the same as he did last year. Looks about the same as he did even in his rookie year. So I just want to see some more growth because, he's one of those guys that if he grows, then this team gets into contention. They are already contenders, I'd say. Moody, I'll just say good to see him back. Looks like he's found his rhythm, had five threes on Monday and another three threes last night. And so eight threes there and, getting after a lot of steals, getting on the floor, just kind of like that new version of 3 and D and just swiping, disrupting, causing chaos, gives you another big bodied point of attack defender against guys, like a Kawhi or even a Harden. And just a lot to like from Moody, especially in that role that he's carving out, just kind of give me 20 minutes of good, solid, hard 3 and D play. And then lastly, we'll end on Kuminga. 25, 10, and 4 blocks on Monday. Player of the game on Monday, just fantastic all around. Last night, you finally saw a little of that downtrend, but it wasn't even that bad. I think what do you have? He only had like maybe like 10 or 11 points last night. It's like 5 rebounds. It didn't really require as much from him, but you saw a nice assist on that, like kind of in transition, just kind of pivots at the elbow, one-handed bounce pass off the dribble to a Steph Curry cutting back door. Never saw that from Kuminga in the past. Really just kind of reading the game and just really slower operating, especially if he knows he has a smaller defender on him. He can just, back like Harden down and just kind of, throw a couple head fakes, wait until you get that good layup and just don't really rush yourself down there, and because now that you're seeing the court, if help comes, if that double or that trap comes, you know where you're going to go with the ball, and it's an easy bucket for one of your other teammates, particularly because the Warriors do have the shooting now to make teams pay. I think JK's starting to realize that being able to see the floor and being a passer is going to open up so many more opportunities for him to get to the hoop, get scoring opportunities as well. It just works hand in hand. And now you're becoming that type of Not, I'm not going to say point forward, but that type of player that can operate kind of in that mid-range, get to the hoop and impose your will for an easy bucket or play make for others. And those are the type of players in this league that you can run an offense through. Had a nice steal in transition, saved it out behind his back to Steph, who then gave it to Buddy for a layup. Only real struggles here for the first time this season offensively for Kuminga is when the Clippers put Zubac on him and they went bigger. And so Kuminga's going to need to figure out, okay, if I have a bigger defender on me, what does that mean? You saw him try to bring Zubac out to the perimeter a bit, maybe that opens up his 3-point shot. Try to, get going and attack from further out and use your speed around him. Not a bad strategy, but didn't really work. So he's got to just kind of figure out, what happens when you have a bigger defender on you and kind of how that game works from there. But, now that he's becoming a force and a player that other defenses are going to need to plan around, you're going to see different coverages, you're going to see different matchups, they're going to throw more at you. And that's the next iteration of Jonathan Kuminga is how you operate in those kind of matchups. So lot to love. Get a nice day off. It's been a brutal schedule for the Warriors, but to win a back-to-back, especially in that it's, I mean, it's still pretty much the first week of the season, and to be 4-1 with two back-to-backs, and again against three really top-level opponents so far, Warriors are making their way. So finally, a little East Coast action. We play the Bucks on tomorrow, and then Saturday against the Pacers. So hope to see a lot of what the Warriors can do to wall off Giannis. I would assume Horford is probably going to take that assignment with a little Draymond kind of working in there. But let's give it to them. Let's show Giannis what it can really look like on a contender if he ever decides to demand a trade. He's coming to San Francisco. All right. Good to be with you guys. Have a great week. I'll talk to you next time. I'm Chris Chin. If you made it this far, hook me up with a follow, a subscribe. Appreciate you. And until next time, peace, love, and stacking dubs.